As if you knew what you were talking about. And we're back. Hey, everyone.
Wait, who knows what they're talking about? Fuck that.
Precisely. So, I mean, Lord Rictus, what do you think? Do you know what you're talking about?
I know what Watsy's talking about, which is Cowboy Bebop promo cards.
I'm in 1000%. Oh, shoot. I just gave in to Watsy. No, I'm completely serious. I'm going to buy all of that.
Yep. Starting August 2nd, you can win Cowboy Bebop promo cards by playing in weekly standard showdown events. They will also have play mats.
Damn it. Now I got to play in all of them.
Yep.
Is that on Arena?
Nope. That's paper, baby.
I hope no one tries to mount Ein.
I didn't even watch Cowboy Bebop, so I have no idea.
You haven't watched one of the greatest shows ever put on television.
For anime, there's not that much of it either. There's, I don't know, like 20-some episodes with a movie scattered in there somewhere.
Yep. Happens between episodes, I think, 20 and 21.
Yeah, you could do it. You could do it on a winter weekend binge for sure.
I just knew it was going to be a thing because you've told me about Cowboy Bebop so many times that yes. I'm like, this is definitely right up your alley. Like, they got you with this Universe Beyond, 100%.
So is it just promo cards?
Yeah. Yeah. They're,
and a playmat.
Yeah. They're just taking classics. So they have like Disdainful Stroke, Snakeskin Veil, and a few others. Lightning Strike, Go for the Throat. They're just redoing the art for Cowboy Bebop style.
I kind of feel like there should be so many things that consume food tokens for Cowboy Bebop. Part of the shtick for that show is like they're always hungry and like they can never get anything good to eat. And they're always eating like crap on the spaceship. And then every once in a while, they've got like this amazing spread in front of them. And before bite one can happen, some horrible shit pops off. And then they've got to like get into a gunfight or something. And then like the table gets destroyed and all the food is gone. And
that's the trope.
Oh, that's only
there's a lot
of
tropes
several.
To it, but yeah, like they never get to eat what they want.
Imagine you've got an awesome Kung Fu Bruce Lee level master of martial arts who's also kind of a hitman assassin with a cool backstory, but they always just want to eat. That's their thing. They want to eat. They want to eat food.
Like one of
they're
the
not
only,
out to get laid or anything. They want food.
One of the only episodes where they actually get to eat is where one of them, who's kind of the more serious toned character,
Jet,
is like winds up befriending some woman who gets sold into prostitution by her husband.
Whoa.
Okay. Like the day before she's about to start, and they make a bunch of food together. But then, you know, like he kind of falls in love with her because she feeds him or something.
I understand that actually.
Yeah. And then he's trying to break her out of like a prostitute jail.
I mean, 100% understand that if somebody feeds me, love is owed. So yeah. Yeah. I get that. 100%. That's a different kind of bonding.
Now that I know you haven't watched Cowboy Bebop, I'm making that happen. That's just...
All right, but we got to wait for Battlestar Galactica to get through.
Nope. Battlestar gets indefinitely paused for Bebop.
Really?
Bebop destroys Battlestar.
Bebop's way better.
Yeah.
No shit.
Bebop is one of the best shows ever put on television.
Didn't they have a live-action version?
Yes, that's inspired by. It's not a copy of. It's a different thing.
Is it good?
If you like Bebop, yes, I think it's good. But a lot of people didn't because it's not like the original show. It's a different story.
Okay, fair enough.
Generally the same characters, but different story.
So Cowboy Bebop, coming to stores near you in August.
Yeah. You know, I was hoping it was going to be a full set because that would be fun.
Just promos to make you spend $600 on a standard deck again.
Yeah, I won't spend anything on it. Don't
worry, it'll all be like available as a secret layer 3 months later.
Yeah, all right. Like the playmat, I'm going to be able to go on eBay and just buy it.
That's a fair point. Although, frankly, at this point, you could also just play mono red because it is that good.
If I went to a live event, I might be willing to do it, but that'd be a lot of effort. Like,
fair.
That just doesn't sound like a thing I want to do anymore, though. Like an FNM?
Yeah, just...
Like a perfectly good Friday night where I've got open multiple hours and like I'm going to go to a stinky LGS and play against kids for heads up packs.
I can watch Vampire Smut. I can put on an episode of True Blood and be happier than going to a card shop.
I don't give a shit if I could like 4-0 a tournament and win a box of cards. It just doesn't sound that appealing to me anymore.
There was a time and place. I think it was a great scenario when we were a little bit more gung-ho on the competitive track and digital magic hadn't fully taken off.
Well, keeping in mind, though, we're paying like under $30 to enter a tournament where you win a box for going. Well, and now it's like you pay $65 to get into it, so it's not worth it?
Yeah, the value dropped. The value dropped pretty hard. That's made it a little bit rough. That's for sure.
I mean, they compensated by making packs cost a lot more.
Yes.
This is more value, right?
Right.
I like when live events were, all I've got to do is top 8 every other event, and I can just free roll the prizes to pay for gas, food, entry fees, everything from tournament to tournament until you hit like a good win. Now those days do not exist.
Everything got expensive and not just Magic, which was the problem, because once upon a time, you're right, you could just kind of gravy train your way through qualifiers week in and week out.
A lot of that was pretty, I mean, some of the people that I remember grinding were doing so incredibly frugally though.
Sure.
Like the cards were coming through the trade binder grind.
Yep.
A lot of people, you know, making sandwiches and bringing them with them and sleeping on couches and shit. Like it was like Crust Punks touring, except stinkier.
Yeah, I loved it. It was a lot of fun.
Like I got away with a better one because I was good at picking. Back in the day when you could look at a set and be like, these cards are going to be valuable and no one's going to buy them, I'm going to buy 24 of them for $1.
That was pretty cool while it lasted.
Yeah, because that was great free money for, I don't have to live frugally when I'm grinding events. I'm going to order pizza and a case of beer. And
for several years, it was kind of wild where it felt like to me, it was just like super obvious that certain things were going to become very expensive.
We were the wolves of Magic Street for a moment. That was fun.
I don't know. You know, it's, I guess back in the beginning, people weren't really thinking about it that way. Cause you know, we wound up, at least for me, you know, I did enough binder trading that I just kind of like knew what cards were worth. And then, you know, you develop the memory of, oh man, that was cheap when it came out. And then it becomes expensive and you start seeing, well, why is that? You know, because it does a million things usually and it's very mana efficient.
Yeah, we can read the Matrix.
And don't forget the great trick. The early days of you and everybody at the tournament always was trading cards. So everybody had a binder and you'd always have the, throw something in and you'd intentionally pick out ones. You're like, speculative in my mind. This is going to go up. I'm like, throw two of those in. They're like, that? Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
You're like, da, 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 da.
You can spec really hard on a few cards like that.
$5 off this trade. Yeah. How about a Tarmogoyf as well?
Right. Once upon a time, that was a reasonable thing.
That made
thing.
It through one regionals before it did. Yes, but it was a funny regionals. All the regionals in the United States finished before anyone realized Tarmogoyf's good.
I mean, some of it was just like cards that didn't wind up being a big deal, like Psionic Blast getting reprinted in Time Spiral.
Right.
Yeah.
Where it was being listed at some places, like a pre-order was $25.
I remember that.
And I was like, well, that's just wrong, because that's what it cost before it got reprinted in the standard.
Right.
And we'd already had Char and like knew how good that was.
Yep.
There was a thought, this is going to pop off and it's going to be really expensive. And I just bought some. And then the set came out. It wasn't even that good for that long, but like a couple weeks later, they were like 40 or something. Just away they go.
I mean, honestly, when I sold my last set, I think I got an extra 2 G's because Commander shit had taken off and I was just unaware. And I went through card by card and I'm like, oh, I do have like 20 street rates.
Everyone's bulk rare box was like, what's that random rare that, okay, that brings all lands into play for all players? Oh, that's probably worth $50. And this card that affects all players, oh yeah, that's expensive.
Yeah, it was a wonderful time, honestly. And I feel like I got out at the right time because I got out right before the Modern Horizons got printed. And they didn't really have much in the way of spoilers for that one. I swear to God, like 5 of my highest dollar cards just plummeted right like 2 days after I sold them.
Yeah. They kind of decided they wanted to redefine the format and they did.
Yeah, they did.
And that was kind of like the end of speculation, but it even happened before that when we started getting 3 or 4 versions of every card.
That killed it. Yeah.
And then it's like, even if you picked the right card, you still have to pick the right version of the right card.
Yep.
And then it's probably so goddamn obvious that everyone's already onto it, like Shieldred.
Yeah. I mean, there's one that just skyrocketed for this weekend. The Pro Tour starts on Friday. And so the Synthesizer is up to $45 a pop right now. It's out of Big Score. It's a mythic.
Oh, okay.
Two and a blue.
New set.
Yeah, and a blue artifact. When it hits the battlefield, you scry 2. And whenever you play another artifact that costs 3 or more, you get a construct token, like Urza Saga style. So there's apparently a pro deck that's using that and going all in on, let's just play artifacts and hope that Brotherhood's End doesn't get played. Which,
that did look powerful. I saw it in draft and like, I had a deck that couldn't support it. But I remember reading it and being like, fuck.
I don't know.
That's good.
I built it. I've actually built that whole deck out in Standard. It's amazing if nobody has Artifact Hate.
Well, I was excited last set when they gave us the 3-drop one that gave you a clue every time.
I play 4 Fade from History on my sideboard.
Right. This deck would fold. Flat fold to that. But
it's not even for that deck either. It's for Domain.
Yeah, but right now I'm sitting at, I think, a 6-1 run, and it's just on the basis of nobody's going to play it. And sure enough, nobody's been playing Artifact Hate, so I've just been ranching Esper midrange and Dimir players left and right with this.
Nobody play. Wait, don't the Domain decks still have like that kill card that kills all the tokens?
Pest Control?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you don't really care because you're just going to keep launching more 3-mana drops out and getting more constructs. Like, it just keeps going. Because you have 4 Braided Net. So Braided Net will give you a construct on the way in. If you have the Synthesizer, when you craft it, it gives you another one. And then you get to draw like 4 or 5 cards from it and keep going. It's pretty absurd what the engine is in there. So, I don't know. It's supposed to be the new hot thing this weekend. We'll find out come Friday when everybody's lists are locked. But I know Kibler's already talking a little bit about it. So
Kibler playing white blue. I am so absolutely surprised.
Right. Ease what it is. I don't know. I'm curious.
I didn't know there was a pro tour this weekend.
I didn't either.
Well, that's because Wizards sucks at marketing.
Wow.
Like flat. So they finally fixed the sideboard bug though. So Arena doesn't have that. That got fixed yesterday.
I've been playing best of ones for a little bit.
Yeah, it's really frustrating not being able to see past the first card of my sideboard.
Right, right. Now, they didn't completely fix the glitch because if you try to move cards around in your sideboard, it just like spawns 10 extra copies. So, you know, however it is, just leave it alone and don't try to make it curve naturally because it does not want to do that right now.
No deal.
Right.
No deal.
I'll fix that bug in another week.
I'm sure. My sideboard constantly because that's how I build the sideboard so that I know which cards go in and out.
Well, aren't you in for a fun time then?
No, luckily most decks are built. I've been messing around with Explorer because no one cares about it to see if I can build mono green aggro.
I mean, everybody's just waiting for it to link up to Pioneer so we can get testing done.
Yeah, but that changes all the decks even more.
Yeah, Lotus Field's deck, and that changes the whole damn format, which I can't wait for it to happen because I really want to play Chandra and Approach the Second Sun, but I'll have to wait a little longer.
Doesn't Shadow Spear let you?
Orb, man.
Doesn't Shadow Spear let you just beat Lotus Veil?
Shadow Spear?
Yeah, because doesn't it take away that hexproof from all the permanents the opponent controls?
Lol.
I don't think anyone is paying attention to that, but it's like, you want to beat all of these new aggro decks as well as Lotus?
Yeah, that card's pretty good. That makes you respond to everything if you have 1 mana up.
So you just Stone Rain with that is the idea?
Yeah,
I mean, that's Field of Ruin or something. Or?
I mean, whatever you're doing, or anything that lets you cap line Baseju.
That's true. Baseju would do it.
Like, because if they don't have Lotus Field, don't they kind of like suck a lot?
Yeah, they can't go off without it. Like that is the point of that deck. You don't need more than one, but you do need one.
Yeah, because when they get Thespian Stage or whatever it's called.
Thespian Stage, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I've got like 1 Alpine Moon in my Jund sideboard for that.
I just play Dampening Sphere usually because that'll turn it off as well. But
I've got one of those too.
Baseju hits either, which is occasionally a problem because post-board they're going to run 2 to 3 of those.
Got that as well.
I just want to encourage people to put like a Shadow Spear in their deck. It's multi-useful now because there's a lot of aggro.
I feel like Shadow Spear is one of those, like you should have a reason that you're not playing it. It does more than it seems like it does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as long as you're running a creature-based strategy, it's pretty key. And
kind of like if you're building a sideboard, like in some of these Eternal formats for me, like I need a strong reason to not have 1 copy of Pithing Needle.
Honestly, it's why I really wish we had Karn back, because I think that made Mono Green Devotion. Like, I understand Mono Green Devotion was really fucking good with it, but that deck was not easy to play.
Oh, yeah.
It was interesting.
Thunder Junction has rendered Devo Green out. It is not, it's tier 2 at best now.
Is that with the Leyline, or are you just because of Slickshot? What are you talking
Either
about?
Either one of them. You, with the Leyline or the non-Leyline versions, you're just too slow.
Is this because of the Slickshot decks?
Not just Slickshots, but other things that people have done with aggro that's just... I'm seeing red-green instead of the red-white things with that... Oh, it's a red spell. You destroy an artifact, get 3 goblins.
Gleeful Demolition?
Yeah, they're running like a Tarka Gleeful Demolition decks.
Oh, God.
They've got that new, you know, they've got Ornithopters, and they got that goblin in there that gets +1/+1 haste if there's an artifact on the field and this stuff. And it's just red, and they've got a Tarkus command, of course, and that's what they're doing.
Speed Demon Gruul, huh?
Yeah.
I'm fascinated. That makes sense why green's dying. Fuck, what survives that?
Depending on your build, a white blue. If you're the white blue that has like the four sunset revelry main, which that is really a list.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
Every deck is creatures.
Oh, we're starting to see more sunset revelry main in the standard list too. So that makes it actually three steps ahead is where everybody is right now. And that, by the way, is also a little piece of tech for the blue white artifact deck. You shove four copies of three steps ahead in your sideboard because one of the second ability allows you to copy any artifact or creature token. So you just copy your synthesizers and go fucking nuts. You're like, counter your spell, double my shit. It's kind of absurd playing it against Domain and against the ramp decks when you get like four negates and four of the three steps ahead.
Fornicates.
Yeah, I mean, you have eight cards to board in and just wreck them. It's kind of wild how efficient it is.
You wreck them, that fornicates.
Mm-hmm, 100%.
Okay, that's
going in dry.
I hope someone out there is laughing about that bit.
Good God. Going in dry. Just like college.
Dry bones.
There we go.
I think that was the name of the turtle in Mario Brothers, right? Dry bones?
Was it?
I think so.
No.
I'm pretty sure.
No. Toad?
No, the turtle.
Bowser?
The turtle.
Which fucking turtle?
You stomp on them, and then there were skeleton ones. Did you ever play Mario Brothers?
Not for a long time.
Goombas were the mushroom-looking things.
Right.
They were the turtles, yeah, you'd step on them, they go on the shell, and you step on the shell, and it, like, hits everything.
Oh,
yeah.
Those.
The turtle.
And some of them were skeletons, because you were in, like, a dungeon or something.
Yeah, because you jump on them, and then they'd get back up and chase after you.
God, I never liked that game.
It is kind of a horror story, so I can...
It's just really tense. There's not one moment in that game that isn't filled with tension, and I just...
Have you ever watched anyone play the unbeatable levels, Mario?
Yes.
Does that just give you all the anxiety?
Yeah, I've watched like the speed runs, and those are insane.
Yep.
So those are the people that would have the patience to use time travel to like learn something they don't remotely know anything about but have to be an expert in.
Loki then.
Yeah, like when Loki uses like a million years or whatever to
learn physics.
Yes. Yeah, to become capable of operating the TVA stuff. Like it's the people that memorize everything so they can just beat Donkey Kong or something.
Fair.
I mean, it's the Groundhog's Day rule. If you had that, wouldn't you?
I would learn like so eventually. Much. Eventually. I feel like there would like I would have to get bored first, which would be inevitable because you have all infinity time.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm going to start learning things before I decide to sit down and watch like all of the old episodes of random soap operas from the 1980s. Like I'm learning stuff before I'm that level of bored.
Yeah, I wouldn't be bored enough to do that. But I mean, I'd probably have like a million years of other activities first.
It's kind of odd actually, because if you put yourself in a vacuum and you give yourself like one book, any book, and that's what you're going to learn. You're like eventually boredom. You're going to read that book over and over. You're going to memorize it, right?
Yeah.
So question then for you, which book do you take if you have, let's say,
the Bible?
Jesus, please. Like 5 years. Let's say 5 years. You've got 5 years, any book you can, but that's all you've got for 5 years.
Does the Lord of the Rings count as one book?
Really? For 5 years? Okay.
I would happily have that memorized because I would now speak Elvish, Dwarvish, handful.
It really gives you a lot to sink your teeth into. There's all the appendices, there's the maps, the languages, the songs.
Yeah. Interesting.
There's a lot there.
And knowing all that, I'm going to feel pretty good coming out in the world and be like, I know all of this.
Okay. Des, what about you?
What would I pick? I don't know. I'd have to think on that. I would want something that had a lot going on with it. But at the same time, I would want something that is incredibly challenging to me. I've got it. I would want Roberto Bolaño 2666 in Spanish.
Interesting.
Because I started reading that years ago when it came out. And I decided that I think it was like 25.
Okay.
And I decided, like, I need to come back to this when I'm 50. It was just, like, it just wasn't hitting me as hard as I knew that it should. And it was, if you are listening or in the room, I guess, and you don't know anything about Roberto Bolaño, he was quite old when he wrote that. He actually died before he totally finished. Like, he finished it.
Yeah.
And kind of editors sort of pulled together. So, but, like, it hadn't gone through all the editing steps.
Right.
When he died, and he was quite an old man at the time. So his point of view was definitely that of like a very advanced, mature age kind of point of view. And at 25, like I was just wise enough to understand that it was going over my head.
Gotcha.
But it was like horrifying and beautiful. And it's like a super thick book, but it is originally in Spanish. And I do want to, my goal is that that's my 50th birthday present to myself is read that in Spanish.
Okay.
So if I had 5 years, I'd probably work on that.
Interesting.
Okay. Okay. Lord Rictus. What do you got? What do you got?
Oh, Anarchist Cookbook, hands down.
You're bored with that after like a couple of days. Like that's, don't you have most of that memorized anyway?
Not all the pieces I'd like. Okay. And I think there's a lot more to be delved into there. And if I can't go that route, I'd go into the Lost Skills book.
I mean, how am I supposed to pick what about one book by Bill O'Reilly?
Oh, God. I know what my dad would do. Yes. It, actually, for him, it'd probably be Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, God.
I know. No. Maybe the Lost Skills book, frankly, because that one goes in depth over how to do a lot of this. What do they call it? Vertical gardening and self-sustaining water. Okay, and
then I'll give you one that you'd like better. Like
that would be fascinating to spend 5 years learning how to make
SAS
a home.
SAS Survival Handbook is what you're probably going to want.
The SAS Survival Handbook.
Yep.
Why it's that?
Because it's their military. Sassy. It's their military training there, and it's building forts, fortifications, surviving in every. I mean, it's just. There's full knowledge on everything in there.
Okay. So it's just like a tome fighting, of fucking knowledge. Like,
yeah. It's what you're taught in the SAS.
I mean, that possibly. Possibly. I mean,
apart from the physical conditioning, because they teach a lot of that too. And the book can't really beat you.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you can beat yourself.
Mentally every day.
I mean, 5 years, you'd probably do it often.
Not wrong.
Okay, you're allowed to masturbate for the 5 years in their time in there, or you're allowed to read a book. Which one?
Question. If I don't masturbate, is the buildup going to occur?
You're in a vacuum.
So...
Your bodily not changing. Now, how you come out of the vacuum? I don't know the rules for this game. You just said it's a vacuum.
I'm saying if it's a vacuum and there's going to be no buildup, like time has not passed, my body does not recognize time, then as long as I jerk off ahead of time, I'll take reading.
Yeah, you're not going to be horny in there.
Right, so I'll take reading in that scenario. But if
then
like,
again, like, how do they enforce it, right? Is there a cage over your dick? Then that's all you're going to be thinking about.
Unless I'm reading. And then I'm thinking about what I'm reading.
Look, if I can create a vacuum.
It's kind of hard, and then the cage just, like, keeps in. You're like, oh, I wish I could, though.
It's a very specific genre of porn.
I'm just, like, I'm trying to think of the enforcement mechanism that would keep you from jacking off for 5 years. And that's the only one I can think of, like real. That's even semi-realistic, unless gave you a drug where you couldn't get hard.
Yeah, this is a vacuum. So I'm going with no. It's if we can create this, I can also create the mind imprint thing that just takes that thought away. There, done.
I just assume if we're in a vacuum and time's not passing, then
why are we smoking in space? Because we invented that thing.
Well, I'm more so in the sense of like there would be no need. Because if you've jerked off right before you step into a vacuum and now time is passing you by.
I'm giving you the option.
Right. Like. But you wouldn't need to exercise the option, is my point. So I definitely
could have just chose to jerk off for 5 years and not read a book. You had that option on the table. It's a vacuum. You can just jerk off for 5 years.
To what end, though? I mean, there.
Drowning,
end.
I guess.
It's just the Chuck Palahniuk Gates
of hell. The tide is ever on the rise. Yeah.
So what are you intending to do? I'm going to build a castle.
My sticky mansion.
I'm not stopping until I'm floating.
Well, you know, to paraphrase Doja Cat, paint the town white.
That's who was paraphrasing, I think, Kid Rock.
Really?
Yeah. Some about like fucking the sheriff's wife and.
Oh, Jesus.
Gonna paint the town red and paint the town white or something like that. It's way back there.
Okay.
But I mean, it's been a long time since
it's the Kid Rock. It's the real McCoy.
We were talking, yeah. It's somewhere in Cowboy. Somewhere in a song from 1998.
The era that just keeps coming back.
Oh, I remember it now. Gonna paint the town red and paint his wife white.
Oh, there yeah. We go.
That works.
Hell of a line. All right.
This is how we get to Kid Rock, everyone. Just remember, don't expose yourself to Kid Rock opportunities.
You know, it's not that bad because Kid Rock almost delivers you immediately to Limp Bizkit.
And then we're back to time travel again.
Unlike Diddy, who delivered people to Jeffrey Epstein, right?
Is that what he was up to?
who fucking knows with Diddy? It's, I'll wait to see where everything like lands. But from what I understand, they call him Diddy the Diddler for a reason.
Never heard that before or ever.
That has been the nickname that's coming out lately after that FBI raid on his house.
I'm going to give weight on all of this because, man, if the internet's saying it, I usually give it less credence.
I know one thing is that he's terrible at rapping. That's true.
Yeah, I know.
It always was.
He was always a part of the culture, but never a good one.
I really liked him in that Get Him to the Greek movie, though.
Oh, yeah, with Russell Brand. And what was that? Jonah Hill. Yeah, Jonah Hill. Ah, Jonah.
Not a lot of rapping from him in that one.
No, I don't think he does any, which is...
No, he literally is just doing...
He eats his own heads.
He's just doing the same thing he does every day in that movie. Head of a music label. Just, yeah, that's, he's just doing his job, but on a movie screen and being insane about it, which might actually be how he is. We don't know.
We'll find out.
Pretending that he's going to be able to get away with everything that he does.
Sounds about right for the rich and the famous. Yes.
How are we back to Trump again already?
I don't know. It always circles back to the bottom of the heap.
It's not as bad as it was when he was the president and it was like utterly inescapable, but things are rising back to that level of media saturation.
Yeah.
I figure it'll quiet the fuck back down come what, January again?
If Joe Biden weren't like helping to commit like
all the genocide
aid to a genocide, I feel like that's all we would have on the news is Donald Trump, Donald Trump. But instead, like, we got to get some coverage here and there about how it's like anti-Semitic to be at Columbia or something.
That's getting Yale very too. Complicated. Yeah, it's spreading. I saw the headline that this is spreading, which
the children of the elites are now not on board with this shit and the. All this
and they're all getting arrested.
Pretend anti-Semitism, yeah.
The mayor of New York keeps arresting
them.
But
don't forget, another great thing came out in the news. The new trailer for Deadpool and Wolverine.
Ooh.
If you haven't seen that yet.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Do I want to see it? Is it going to ruin pieces of the movie?
It didn't ruin shit for me. It just made me so excited.
It's just going to make... We've already got kind of like the basics of what that movie is going to be about anyway.
Yeah.
And it just confirms things that you probably already thought.
Like, okay. Wolverine is in the movie.
Right. Like, Wolverine is in the movie that
Deadpool
we're
Dog
dealing with, you know, multiverse and, like, Deadpool's universe is at stake.
And also that there's going to be lots of little background Easter eggs in the movie. Like, the trailer gives you ones. Lee Field's It's All About Feet is a sign in the background.
And that's an Easter egg.
Comic writer who couldn't draw feet.
Yep.
It's been a running joke in the Deadpool franchise.
Okay, fair enough. See, it's these little tidbits that I would never know otherwise.
This movie is going to be just packed to the brim with them.
It looks so good.
When's the movie release?
Not soon enough.
July 28th, maybe?
All right.
Something like that?
Not soon enough.
Yeah, right. quite a ways out.
At least Fall Guy's coming out soon. That'll be interesting.
And we're going to get Tales of the Empire soon, too.
Mad Ooh. Max movie, whatever the newest one's called. Furiosa?
Furiosa. When's the Joker movie coming out? I saw a trailer for that.
November?
It's going to be a minute, yeah.
It's September, October, or November. But.
So it's a banger of a year, and we're just about to kick things off with the first summer blockbuster series. Awesome.
What movies do we have coming out in the semi-near future?
Furiosa.
Yeah, is that George Miller again, or is somebody else doing that?
No, I'm not certain on.
I have a lot more faith in it if George Miller's doing it.
We've also got Fall Guy coming out in like next week, I think. I'm personally very interested in
Dune
that.
Dune 2 is streaming now.
Yeah. Yeah. They made the, the rental price was $20 and the buy price was $25.
I snap bought it.
Yeah. I remember looking at that. I was like, yeah, I'm just going to buy it. All right. Fair enough.
Immediately watched it. And then the next thing I did was watch part one and then into part two.
Sounds about right. Yeah. I mean,
so good.
It's a hell of a movie. Hell of a movie.
It's a hell of a concept, too, because of those popcorn buckets.
I never got my hands on one. I always wanted it.
Only got your dick in one.
For a day.
It's okay. If you get one of the Deadpool or Wolverine popcorn buckets, you can fuck their mouth.
Yeah, they have a hole in the mouth.
Yep.
Yes. Oh, my God. They created the popcorn flashlight,
which makes me think that, like, the move is you're supposed to just have your dick waiting in there.
The popcorn fleshlight bucket.
Yeah, the popcorn surprise,
eventually
I guess.
Get down to it. Chirp, chirp, chirp.
Which I've only ever really seen on Family Guy.
Right. Yep. Not really a thing people
do
typically.
Who would want to have a dick with buttery? It's not even butter on there. It's like canola
asking
oil
for a UTI, and, yes.
It's very few people, I think, are going to respond favorably to that, too. They're like reaching in thinking that they're going to get a handful of popcorn, and then they like grab a popcorn buttery dick. And
I mean, though, admittedly, I'd kind of want to crunch up all the popcorn. So it's like, yeah, this is all going to be stuck to you.
Like,
your life sucks.
What are you hoping for if you're the one with your dick and the popcorn? Are you like hoping for like a really weird hand job where they got to like reach in the popcorn and be like yanking the dick
I'm saying it's a blowy. That's what I'm hoping for.
Though, their face is going to fit in that popcorn
bucket?
That's
right. You get a big popcorn bucket.
Nah, it's not going to fit. It's just not. There's
Dude,
no way.
You could get, like, I'm not talking you buy a small size popcorn thing, you know.
No, but like they, towards the base, it's going to get smaller anyway. So like the odds of them being able to get their head all the way down the bucket.
Pretty good.
You think?
Yep.
I feel like it's going to be a problem.
Do you know what those buckets are made out of?
Where the fuck are they standing? Are they like standing on the seat and like leaning? This would be such.
They're in the seat next to you, just
thing.
Leaning over and just like, it's really obvious.
Unless it would be really obvious.
I mean, I guess that's where you go for the back row.
And then if they look and they're like, what are you doing? They're like, they're eating popcorn like out of a trough.
I mean, like I fucked in a
and
few.
And I'm just coming, you know, unrelatedly.
I mean, I fucked in a few movie theaters in my life, but we were always smart enough to pick the matinee of the movie that was about to rotate out. And thus it was like us and maybe one other couple.
So you went strategically to not get caught?
Yeah.
Where's the fun in that?
Well, the fun is usually making the only other couple in there really uncomfortable and then they leave.
I don't see where the fun is in that.
It made me laugh a lot. I don't know.
I think all the times I fucked in a theater, I was a teenager. And it was more like just because
nowhere
I was like teenager
there.
Horny. Yeah.
Nowhere to go.
Yeah. Like I made sure, did I get laid 2 hours ago? Yeah. Could
but now
I
I'm
wait?
In a movie theater.
I mean, no, absolutely not. You know, is it going to happen later? You bet. You know, the same amount it would have before, but now it's happening here. I don't know. I just kind of more of an animal when you're a teenager.
Oh yeah. The hormones are flowing. The things you're later going to need pills to moderate are just happening. What an era. What an age. Goodbye, goodbye. So it goes.
This makes me think of coming in popcorn buckets. Here's your topping.
Yeah, here's your frosted popcorn.
Oh, God.
That's what should come in the Dune buckets is frosted popcorn.
Oh,
and the Deadpool Wolverine buckets.
Do it like the, what were the Boy Scout ones where they gave you three different kinds of popcorn? And just one of them has the false bottom? Then you're playing Russian roulette for dick popcorn.
Are you just talking about like those popcorn bins that have like cheese, regular, and caramel?
Yeah.
Yeah, there'll be like kettle corn and like caramel popcorn and then like a bad one.
Every time.
No, I've always found them to be awesome.
Oh, man.
No, I never ran across one that I was like, ooh, no. But then again, other people didn't like them. So I was like, ooh, yeah, thanks, free snack.
God, how expensive would those be in today's economy? Once upon a time, those were considered a treat at like, what, $4 or $5?
I think they're like a normally sold thing now, so the price has come down because it's just a thing.
Yeah, if you're not getting them in tins, you can just find them at most stores in bags.
Yep.
Ah.
So and you can just get the kind that's good.
It's like just buying Neapolitan ice cream. You can just do it.
Treat yourself.
You want variety,
don't you?
Not
many people get Neapolitan ice cream and then like want all of it. It usually seemed like there was like strawberry just got left behind.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
Like, see, like every time I saw Neapolitan ice cream, it seemed like it was a bad compromise in a household.
Yes. Yes.
I want vanilla. I want chocolate. No one wants this. The strawberry was good.
That way, the next time most of it's gone, the mother can say to the kids, well, you can have the what's left, which is always strawberry. And then nobody wants it. They get upset.
What is this, the meanest parents ever?
Nope, just mine. Anyway.
Your parents did that? Oh, wow. That's a dick move.
Gotta finish it off before you get new stuff.
No, Midwest living.
Yep. Hey, you get what I don't care about, and I'm going to threaten you with things if you don't have what I don't care about. Ha ha.
How it goes. Yeah.
I'll put that under mild abuse.
Because for some reason, you eating something that you neither want nor need to eat is not wasteful.
Midwest logic. Yeah. It's the lead poisoning runs strong through it. But you know, that's
it sure do.
That's been the case for a while. The mental gymnastics that they go through, always interesting. The
older we've gotten. If only they broke hips during those, that'd be helpful.
I think they did. You know, mental gymnastics implies a certain fitness.
Flexibility.
and capable nature. Like, I feel like mental gymnastics is something that a smarter person does to convince themselves to do something that needs to be done, but they really don't want to do it.
Let's go with what would be a good one for that. It'd be
work.
Mental falling, mental falling over, or like mental
pants shitting.
Yeah, like, you know, it's
brain drooling.
I was just gonna go with the mental Special Olympics.
Well, no, you've got to have something that's triggering the ability. Like, gymnastics means you're flexing around and finding new ways to get around it. So what's their getting around? Is it just falling in different directions?
They're not getting around anything. They're shitting all over everything.
Okay.
It's like if they shit loudly enough, nobody can call them on the bullshit logic. You know what I mean? Like, as long as they keep yelling.
If I spray enough poop, no one will say no.
Right.
But then they'll step away, which pisses me off more.
But this does seem to be like the general trend of arguments I've had with many boomers over the years is I go logic and they go shit pants loudly, tell you why that's correct somehow.
Oh, yeah. I'm offended. Therefore, I'm right.
Yeah.
And then everybody else is a fucking snowflake.
Yes. That does tend to be how it goes.
Oh, which, the people that just speak at you.
Oh, God, I can't wait for them to die.
And the death clock continues. And if you haven't seen it yet, folks, dear listeners, there is a death clock website for the boomers. Make sure you check it out.
Nice.
It's lovely. It just goes and ticks up with death every single second as it slowly goes for the end of that generation based on actuarial tables.
I almost wish it would just count down.
Yeah, that's all it does.
Okay. So it doesn't count up, it counts down.
Yeah, it's saying this is how many are left, statistically speaking, based on an actuarial table of boomers and how long we have left to go.
Mm.
It just counts down. It's lovely.
It's ridiculous. But then again, what can I say about ridiculous? Fish is playing at the big dome in Vegas, so, you know.
What is a fish?
The band Fish.
PH Fish.
Oh.
The jam band.
Ah.
They're going to be the first band playing the big dome thing they don't have a single repeating set. So, you know, usually people play there and do the same thing several nights, and this is just them doing whatever.
They're just going to jam, and the dome will be there.
That sounds like Fish, yeah.
Yeah.
I bet it'll suck and smell like patchouli.
I think it's already sold out.
That sounds like a Fish concert, yeah.
That's the thing, like, the hippies got old, and they have money.
And now they just want to smoke weed in Las Vegas.
But, yeah, they still, they suck, if anything, more.
I mean, there's a cool 360 degree fully globe around you of a show going on, light show and smoke and everything.
I guess if you're going for the shroomies, fair enough. It could be fun. Yeah. It could be an experience, a little, you know, unique.
I don't think I'd want to be surrounded by people on mushrooms and in the center of a big technological thing.
I don't know. I'm with you, but I know some people who are all about that kind of, you know what I mean? Where they're like, let's do shrooms and go places and like
life
interact
isn't
with everyone.
Stimulating enough.
Right. I don't understand that.
Those are the same people who you usually associate with things like adrenaline junkies. They're like, what are you going to do? I'm going to go hang glide. I'm going to go bungee jump. I'm going to go skydive. I'm going to go swim with sharks. And you're like, I'm going to go not where you are.
Yeah, but like if you were to take mushrooms and then just go somewhere quiet or even not, just hang out with one or two people and listen to music or something, your mind will probably expand. Probably a lot. And if you take mushrooms and go to a really loud concert surrounded by people, best case scenario, you'll have a really entertaining time.
Worst case, you will have a nightmare.
Yeah.
So it's not wanting to expand the mind then?
I feel like that's the best thing to do with that shit. Otherwise, I mean, if you're just in it for dopamine, just do cocaine or something. I guess there's fentanyl, but...
So this is the breakdown of that's what I'm calling it, the adrenaline junkies. The folks are just like, yeah, but then this... Because I imagine any person that's, you know, whatever in getting that feel when they go dive in and swim with great whites, I'm like, yeah, I'm sure that that's some drug equivalent of, you know, what an addict might have for this is your rush from this.
Well, and I mean, people are just built differently, too. I remember watching the documentary on the guy that did the free climb up the mountain, and they did an MRI on his brain, and they were trying to figure out, like, how does adrenaline work for you? And the dude had like no dopamine, no adrenaline until he was halfway up a mountain with no ability to turn back and no safety nets whatsoever.
So in like every other universe, he's like mainlining heroin.
Yeah, pretty much. But in this one, he's really fit and not dead yet. But like everybody who does that gig dies. That's why it's a weird rock climbing thing, because everybody who does it eventually fucks up and dies. Because if you keep doing it on a long enough timeline, you're just going to die. You're going to get old.
You're
going to
die naturally before you die on the rock on a long enough timeline.
Oh, dude. So many of those. No. Because they'll just go out and be like, well, if I'm going to die of X cause, I'd rather just die climbing. And they'll try a risky route. You know what I mean? Like, that's the suicide for that clan. And it is like a cult. It's the
Tom Cruise Mission Impossible 3.
Right. It's like a little cult for rock climbers. If you go to like the death cult side of it.
Except climbing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of wild. They take it very seriously, though.
I'm sure they do. And
deadly serious.
they can have that, too.
I don't know.
Oh, man. I have my own extreme thing. Sometimes I like to buy fast food and eat it.
Extreme.
I mean, to your stomach, that is an adrenaline rush and extreme.
Extreme.
Yes.
Dude, you can dissolve teeth in soda. That's extreme.
Oh, God. Really?
Coca-Cola.
Yeah. If you take some teeth and drop them into a glass of Coca-Cola, they will dissolve.
Well, that explains a lot of cavities in our generation, doesn't it?
That's how you clean pennies and things. You just drop them in Coca-Cola.
It's not what I did with Coca-Cola, but all right. I mixed it with the rum.
Coca-Cola is a deadly weapon. That's what it's all about.
It is delicious, though.
Such a good way to drink rum.
You know, do you honestly like the flavor of it? I mean, I'm not saying it's bad, but it's...
I do. I genuinely do.
It just isn't sweet enough for me to like it.
It's like completely sugar.
But its flavor doesn't feel sweet to me.
It's one of the only old-timey flavors I really do like.
It makes it feel like it coats my teeth, which it probably does.
Yeah, that's 100%. It melting your teeth.
That's how you get cavities.
That's so unappealing.
That's why it's a good idea to like never drink it.
Yeah.
But if you do, it's quite lovely.
Every now and again, it's that nothing hits like one of those every now and again.
That's how I feel about Sprite, yeah.
If I'm going to do that, I'm going to get like a Jolt Cola and just have the caffeine high too, because, you know, I loved those when I was a teenager.
But I'm getting an original Four Loco. We're going to keep going. Let's keep amping it up.
The old Sparks.
I could throw up right now remembering trying to choke down one of those big Four Loco cans of like, I'm going to do it. This is so horrible.
They were so gross.
You had to have a chaser for them, but you could pull it off. It was just, to me, it was like taking a shot of tequila.
For
it
so
was going to be gross.
The chaser was another Four Loco. Don't you remember that being like the Four Loco challenge? Is like you pound two Four Locos and then just see what happens.
Or rather, you usually don't see what happens.
Yeah, no, you black out wide awake.
And
that's
then people
the
tell you what happens, yep. Yeah.
You get the story later.
See if you wake up with your freedom and your friends.
I just had a point where I was sending out mass apology texts every morning. That was my solution.
Whatever I did, I'm sorry, but I'm going to do it again.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, it was a whole lot. I don't know who I owe this to, but to whomever I do, my bad. Anyway, where are we meeting today?
And I'm sorry in advance for what I'm about to do.
Yeah.
I didn't do it.
You shit on the ceiling. I'm impressed and shocked and disgusted all at the same time.
It was a wild summer. It was a wild summer.
Yeah, screaming, I'm Spider-Man, bitch, and then did a headstand and just ejaculated shit straight at the ceiling.
Explosive diarrhea. It really does look like an umbrella. It's like a fountain even.
Well, that was the summer that we had an apartment get condemned at the end of it. So, yeah, we went a little hard.
It was a summer of strip denial.
When the whole hood is just like, don't deal with them. They're fucking insane. And then at the end of it, the city person comes in and goes, no, we will not be cleaning this. This is just done.
That was, yeah.
What a summer. 90 days of blackout drinking. Thanks, Four Loco.
That's horrible.
I wanted to see. We watched that McDonald's documentary, The Supersize Me, where they do 90 days.
No, just
90 days of McDonald's.
The story. They do 30 days of McDonald's.
Yeah, end the story right now.
Well, we wanted 90.
That's what I'm saying. End the story now. This is just going to get ridiculous.
We wanted it to be the whole summer. So we did. And I don't know what happened, but
I mean,
a lot.
I can verify. I stopped in for like a week of this debauchery. It was like every day was wake up and like McDonald's is now the personal cafeteria because didn't old boy like his parents gave him a black card or something?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was like free, it doesn't matter, free money.
Yeah, no, the money was literally limitless. Adoptive parents were oil tycoons, so.
Okay.
Yeah, that was
this,
a wild scenario.
I'm like, this is just a bad movie plot at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Went through a couple.
I've seen this. It's a sequel to American Pie. It's like the fourth one.
Went through a couple Cadillac cars that year, too, that summer.
Now, interesting, fun ones. Any other movies that are coming out are cool, because I just remembered that there is something else coming out, but I don't remember what it is. And I don't mean Passion of the Christ 2, which does also come out this year.
Really? There's a sequel?
They're going to kill him again?
I swear.
More passionately this time.
I feel like he would come back with weapons.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like his powers.
I'm telling you right now, here's what it's called. Passion of the Christ 2, The Resurrection. It is starring Jim Caviezel and directed by Mel Gibson. It's really a thing.
Oh, so they're doing the cleanup after the snuff movie.
They're doing the Easter story.
Yeah, okay. It looks like that they're doing it.
What? I mean, there's not much to do. It's such a basic-ass fucking scenario.
It's more of a story than The Passion of the Christ.
Just keep in mind, it's still being made. Like, it's
every time Mel.
So how's that going to work? Jesus comes back 3 days later and 25 years older.
Who knows?
Or something. How long has it been since The Passion? That was a long fucking time ago.
That was a long time ago. That was probably, that's going on 20 years, isn't it? Yeah.
I don't know. I remember being young and like the whole church was super excited about it. And I was just sitting there like, man, I just want to watch South Park though.
But no one would let me watch a snuff movie.
Yeah. They did, and they all had
not even a good one.
Oh no, they had like a whole Bible study group about it.
I'm sure they did.
They watched it together and talked about it a lot.
Church groups would run out and go to things and stuff.
Did they cut a hole in the popcorn buckets?
At home, probably. Yeah.
You know, try and climax during the crucifixion.
Okay, that's hilarious.
A whole lot of holes to hit. Yeah.
Father, why have you forsaken me?
Just like what my dad did.
Now I want to see. Okay, now I just want to watch Jesus Christ Superstar. Where we're going, I'm saying musical. That's where I'm. Rock opera is where I'm really going.
If I had ever gone to The Passion, or like was put in a position where I had to or something.
Yeah.
When I walked out, I would be singing "Always Look on the Bright Side of Life."
Yeah.
Although that would probably go over the head of like literally everyone there.
They would think you were the most devout, actually.
They probably would, yeah. I mean, that's pretty typical. They tend to follow people who are clearly atheists.
Yes.
Because like if they actually believed in divine judgment and hell and all this shit, they wouldn't be doing all the evil shit they're doing to these morons that believe them. Like if Joel Osteen actually believed in hell, he would live so differently.
Just on the money alone, they'd be going to hell.
Yeah.
Like just done. Game over.
Easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get into heaven? That's unobscure, and that's out of their big black book.
The beauty of the big black book is that they keep on changing what it means and they keep on changing the translations.
That's what you gotta be an atheist to do that. You gotta fear no retributions afterwards. So yeah, I mean like if I deceived a bunch of religious people and had them like give me head and all their money, then I'd just be like everybody else that runs a religion.
Oh, I think that's just the King James version. But I did find the movie.
More like Kink James. What?
It's November 22nd and it's Gladiator 2.
What?
Yeah.
That is much more interesting than The Passion of the Christ 2.
But it's just like, I know it's something silly like this shouldn't be made. Ridley Scott.
And is it Russell Crowe again?
Gladiator 2, The Rise of Taj.
It's not the same movie. It's like years later.
Okay, so this is Rome. We're going back to Rome for
it
a period
stars
piece.
Denzel Washington, Pedro Pascal.
What?
Yeah.
I'm in. I'm in. Denzel Washington, Pedro Pascal, I'm fucking in.
Yeah. I haven't heard of Denzel being in much of anything lately.
Yeah, Ridley Scott directing.
He was in like three different almost Oscar winners for a number of years as he was chasing it and failing.
Yeah, he had this series of movies, I think that kind of started with Man on Fire, where he like mysteriously could punch faster than everyone and had no consequences when he did it.
Yeah. Yeah. He did the action tropes for a while.
And he's really good at that, but it just gets boring to me instantaneously.
He did, what was it? The Equalizer series. Wasn't that his thing?
I don't know. I was good with Man on Fire. Cause I was like, oh shit, dude, like Nine Inch Nails, The Fragile is all over it.
Yeah.
And then every movie I saw like trailers for that he was in, I was like, it just looks like that movie, but without Nine Inch Nails.
Well, Brightside, you know,
he got into a rut.
Training Day was good.
Training Day is a fucking classic. Nice.
I like the one with Clive Owen, the robbery movie. I can't remember the name of it right now.
Oh yeah, where like Clive Owen's robbing a bank and tricks them into thinking that they're like killing hostages and shit.
all the fun stuff,
just so he can walk out of it. Yeah,
one thing that they don't address about his escape plan, because spoiler for a movie that's old as fuck.
spoiler for 1992.
Yeah, and we can't remember the name of it.
It's like 2002. Okay,
fair.
He like creates a fake wall that he hides behind for a day or a week or something, and then comes out and pretends like he was a customer. Yeah. He would smell like shit.
No, no,
he would smell atrocious.
They do have deodorant thing. They do show that.
I have gone a week without showering, man, and I did it without being bricked up in a wall. I smelled bad. The deodorant didn't help. But he's gonna put deodorant on his fucking grundle. You know, you're gonna smell that.
You're gonna patchouli your body.
He's been taking like gross shits in there too. There's no way he's not gonna shit at least twice.
How long was he in there?
Like a week.
Yeah, I don't think there's a way to get a. Yeah.
I mean, at least people would turn heads like, what the fuck is that smell? Yes. And then they go back there and they, you know, find a sleeping bag and a bucket full of poop, you know?
That is, it's rappers and that what they find. That's the-
I love that that's how it ends too, is knowing that they're going to go back there and find a sleeping bag and a bucket of shit.
I don't know. Clive also gives Denzel a stolen diamond.
Well, yeah, he has to bribe the cop. The only one smart enough to catch him. He's like, wouldn't you rather make money, though?
They didn't bribe him. They didn't get caught. He got away.
Exactly. And nobody's coming after him because Denzel got paid.
I didn't show like the next scene where he goes to like sell it and then immediately gets arrested.
I like that story. By the way, Gladiator 2 is about Lucius, the son of Maximus's love, Lucilla, after Maximus's death. So that's what we're doing, is after the movie.
All right, good enough actors. I'll give it a shot. Napoleon was a real pile, but I'll give it another shot, Ridley.
That's watching Napoleon is, that is one of the rare things that I would actually love to do with an annoying boomer. Just to like watch them get upset while I laugh at it.
They did that in the, I did that in the theater. We had a boomer that was right next to us. And everybody, we were all in the back row, it was all millennials and zoomers lighting up vape pens like crazy. Just death stick, death stick, death stick. And we're fucking laughing our asses off. And this boomer was so mad about it. He got up in the middle of the movie and moved all the way to the front. Just could not deal with how much, the whole theater was just erupting in laughs. Because it was all millennials and we were all sitting there with death sticks like, yeah, that's the only way to do this. Oh, man.
Just see, we've got the best thing on here. Gladiator 2, its current anticipated budget is $250 to $310 million to make it.
All right, Ridley.
That's a Marvel movie.
But like,
that's the Marvels.
Yeah, what is this going to be? Is this going to be a pile? Is this going to be spectacular? I don't
probably
know.
Probably a pile, but every boomer is going to see it. Pile. Literally every boomer is going to go see that, though.
Ridley Scott usually makes movies that are at least decent.
And then
sometimes
Napoleon.
Great. But didn't Ridley Scott also do that fucking Napoleon movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe we're on the downswing.
Well, probably. I mean, like, Napoleon very much felt like it was made for boomer war porn and was structured that way.
Well, didn't you say the battles are just miniatures of something moving around, not even actual battles?
No. They're actual battles, but it feels like you're just watching a kid move around his miniature toys with how they did it scope-wise. You're like, oh, look, and now this is going to blow up. And, ooh, over here it blows up there, too. Oh, that's pretty cool.
Just Joaquin Phoenix playing fucking Warhammer 40K.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what I felt like it was sounding like. It'd be Warhammer.
Yeah, I mean, Joaquin Phoenix, actually, I thought his performance was what was asked of him. You know what I mean? Like, it felt like he was doing what the director wanted him to do.
Shit in a bucket.
It was just a bad movie for him.
I mean, how really interesting is Napoleon anymore?
Not.
You know, it's kind of like when somebody wants to start telling you about Civil War facts and you just want to, like, gouge your eyes out.
Well, General Lee, well, I don't care.
Fuck. Can we talk about, like, pocket protectors or something?
How about virus protection for my phone? Infinitely.
Civil War knowing is my least favorite.
You don't have virus protection on your phone, and I know it.
No condoms forever. Yeah, I get what you mean. There's a lot of people that sit and turn history into their hobby, and then they want to tell you about their hobby.
There's a lot of really cool history
like,
out there.
It's always like a war where one side was like super racist, too. Yes. Like World War II, you know, fucking walk into a room and you start hearing a conversation in a bar of like, you know, if Hitler hadn't advanced into Russia, he might have won. And he's just like, oh my God, we're two drinks away from hearing about the good ideas he had. If that.
That's conservative.
And that's not even the one you want to do. You want to bring up Rommel, you know, tank general thing and the invasion of France and the having of troops. I mean, let's at least use math. Sorry, I've had this very conversation with someone in a bar.
This is how it goes.
I don't remember how we got to it, but it was happening, and it was just like it became a conversation.
I've learned that if I talk to my girlfriend's fathers long enough, eventually World War II gets brought up.
Because
this has gone across like five different girlfriends now.
I feel like if I got trapped in a World War II conversation with somebody, like at the outset, it'd be like, I'm going to set a timer and we're going to talk about Star Wars for the same amount of time.
Oh, that would actually be fair. That would be nice. All right, your hobby first, deal. But after, my hobby.
Or I guess you could just follow up and be like, yeah, why don't we talk about like the second half of the 20th century? So we're going to talk about this thing you love so much. Let's talk about the outcomes.
I don't know anything about
those. How they're
kind
of reverberating into right now, you know?
The only thing they'll tell you is how much they love Ronald Reagan. That's the only outcome they cared about.
Yeah.
And how much they hated Jimmy Carter. Even though they have no idea who that is, really.
Yeah, that's right.
An awesome person.
Every time I've heard why they don't like Jimmy Carter, why a boomer doesn't like Jimmy Carter, it's inevitably because like he's a sissy is the answer.
Yeah.
He's a weak president because he was a sissy. And it's like, why? Because he was a sissy.
Socialist and inflation and it was right. All shit.
Yeah.
He believes in contributing to society and reading books and...
Yeah. All right. Fucking eat some bacon and drink a Budweiser.
What you need to be reading for?
Now I want bacon. Damn it.
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
At all times.
Yeah,
at all times.
It just, when you hear bacon, you're like, oh, but when you hear bacon, do you immediately think turkey or pork?
I think family reunions, because we used to do bacon runs where we cleared out a restaurant of all the bacon they had. And that was the whole point of the bacon run.
That would have really greased up the intestines.
Oh, yeah. We would
come
go
on,
through.
Come on, family. We're going to see who gets keeled first.
Well, this was the entire extended family. So there was like 30 to 40 of us, and we would clean out fucking restaurants. And this was the family tradition. Family reunions once a year.
So you can't leave until you finished out all the bacon in the building?
Yep. Have to get it all. But you go to a small town bar, you can do that. You know what I mean? And that's how we did it.
I bet everyone loved that. Everyone working there, like, cool. We'll keep making it.
Which is, everything smells like bacon. I'm going to eat some of it. Fuck them.
I have no idea. I was but
they're
a lad.
They're never going to notice anyway.
I was but a lad, but I knew that I loved it because I got to eat as much bacon as I wanted. And the answer to that was over a pound typically. And I was so happy.
It's one of those, like, that's so...
Your body
like,
wasn't.
No, God, no.
One of those, like, we know it's terrible for you, but there's enough people that are like, yeah, but it's American for some reason. Like, like it makes you, I don't know, tougher?
How many things
What is it? What does it make you more of if you eat a absurd amount of bacon?
Memorable.
Does it? You know, there's a lot of people that's their thing. I eat spicy food and bacon and shit blood. Like, cool.
No, that is. But clearing out all of the bacon in a building, that's a memory for a lot of people.
A sad memory.
How is it sad? You get to eat all the bacon. Wonderful.
I mean, I guess if I didn't really like any of those people and was looking forward to them having arteries clogged.
I mean, that's going to happen in America one way or another, unless you're actually paying attention to your diet.
If the bacon
heavily.
Doesn't get you, it'll be the cheese. If the cheese doesn't get you, it'll
be the beer.
There's a limit where it's just like, no, the food is no longer, you're too full. It's not enjoyable anymore.
Well, the meal's not over when I'm full. The meal's over when I hate myself. That's America.
That is very America. Why do you go to the gym? I'm vain, not healthy. Was that the...
Yeah, 100%. I stand by that comment. I
eat
went today.
Like shit, and I go to the gym every day.
I'm going to say, like, I went to the gym today, and it was not because I was thinking, man, what a healthy life choice. It was 100%. I looked down and went, God damn it, and then walked out the door and went to the gym.
Can't see my penis again.
Wow.
Maybe I left it at the gym.
How to get swole, bruh? How to get swole?
No, that makes your penis disappear.
No, that's testicles.
This guy knows. Yep. All about them roids, baby.
Because it's all about them roids. About them roids. I think you could make a great song.
No needles.
Yeah, you can do that. All organic.
Yeah, all about them roids, no needles.
Wasn't the Chinese Olympics team all... suspected right now for doping? I think that just happened. I think they're talking about like postponing or kicking China out of the upcoming Olympics because their team was doping.
The only thing I know about the Olympics is that Snoop Dogg is NBC's correspondent. And for that alone, I will watch a little.
Oh, speaking of Snoop Dogg, are either of you aware of the big rap beef going on right now where it's kind of like everybody versus Drake?
What?
It started out with like J. Cole dissing Kendrick Lamar,
okay,
which was like ridiculous because Kendrick just fucking bodies him.
Right.
And then like Drake popped in, like a bunch of people have been shitting on. I don't really know how it all started, but like Drake put out a track over like maybe a week ago coming at like the entire industry, coming at Kendrick, coming at fucking J. Cole, even though like he backed out of the beef at this point, which I didn't know was an option. Apparently it's not.
Yo, man, I quit. And,
like, there is no fucking quit. Coming at Metro Boomin. Like Metro doesn't even rap.
Right.
So like the Drake diss is just like, shut your hoe ass up and make those drums. Yeah. Like he's just coming at everyone. He's coming at Rick Ross, you know? And Rick Ross fired back and kind of no one cared, you know?
Because it's Rick Ross. Right.
I mean, like, I can't remember what the name of the Drake track is, but it is like, it is a blazing hot diss track.
This is like Tupac versus Biggie blazing?
It's, nothing's quite like that, but it's interesting that you mentioned that because Kendrick Lamar hasn't come back with like another diss track.
Sure.
Because it's his turn now, you know? And so over the weekend, Drake put out something. It's like a freestyle. And at the end of it, he's doing a verse.
Yeah.
But the first verse is like a Tupac AI voice, which is already like, bro. And then the second verse is a Snoop Dogg AI voice, which is insane because like motherfucker is still alive. Like it's making me wonder, like, what the fuck is Snoop going to do now? Because he got drug into this shit by AI. Like, is he going to put out a diss track on Drake? You know, is he going to fucking endorse being AI puppeteered?
Well, I know the AI puppeteer thing's a big problem right now for the WNBA because people are busy making their own custom AI porn of all the people that just got drafted into the WNBA. And it's going everywhere. And apparently
it's to be expected.
They couldn't stop him any other way.
Yeah.
Right. Right. But it's apparently this huge scandal, look, and everybody's losing
their minds.
Something
is now popular. It is now porn. That is the rule.
Yep.
I mean, Seinfeld became popular, and it's like, yep, there, yep.
No, okay. that was inevitable. Did you see the footage of some motherfuckers showing up at one of these games to chant overrated at Caitlin Clark?
Yeah.
And then them just like going fucking silent while she crushes the whole fucking court.
That was fun to watch. Yes.
Right. So you're like, okay, well, that didn't work. I guess let's make fake porn of her, guys. We'll get her.
Yeah. It's wild to watch. I mean, it's wild that it's happening. I knew, like, it's inevitable. You're right, but hey.
Just instead of anytime you want to say inevitable, say Thanos, because everyone who smiles is cool.
It's Thanos.
It's Thanos. Don't you just feel better about that now?
Just say it's Thanos and then snap your finger.
If you want to add flourish on it. Myself.
Yeah. You got to add the little snap, little flourish. Yeah. Style points.
Thanos hated it.
There's the multiverse interdimensional cable we need. That version of Thanos.
I want
Twink
the
Thanos.
Yeah.
Multiverse interdimensional cable of the Marvel universe as SNL.
Interesting.
Like I would enjoy that. That'd be a fun watch.
Adam Sandler would be in the MCU. Interesting.
Okay, if Adam Sandler were in the MCU for real, though, who do you have Adam Sandler be?
Adam Sandler in the MCU?
Yeah.
What era are we talking?
Right now. We're putting Adam Sandler in a future project based off of what's currently happening.
So Sandler's current age, though, as an
yes,
actor.
Yes, Adam Sandler as he is right now.
Okay.
First thing that pops into my head, Mojo.
Oh yeah, I could see the television thing that could work.
What do we have for future projects coming up right now?
Kind of unknown. Blade is supposed to now be next year. But there's a lot of things that kind of got retooled.
Okay.
Because they were bad.
Yeah, they've been kind of punting it lately.
Well, like the Daredevil stuff. Apparently, they totally started that over.
Yeah.
Coming back from, and yeah, there's, you know, the quality's been slipping. Everyone knows that.
Yeah.
Some of the movies have still been awesome. There's a lot of movies we had loved that I think most people didn't. Like, we were all on board for Multiverse of Madness.
Thor 4.
Those are two pretty maligned movies. I think we all liked the Marvels.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, Marvel's I was disappointed good. That the Marvels did not have more singing.
Yeah,
I
that was really, really disappointed my big gripe about it. Is once the Disney shit started, they stopped.
I'm like, no, I should have had 45 minutes minimum of that.
Yeah. Fucking, like, that was the coolest thing I've seen Brie Larson do in any of those movies.
How easy would it have been to be like, oh, whenever you come leave the planet, your lungs and brain don't adjust, and so for the next few hours, you only sing? Right there. We just got to get it. Go bring them in a battle, and they're singing.
Fuck it, just bring a sidekick from that planet.
Yeah, anything.
That
it's
just doesn't
fun.
Understand anything unless you sing it to them.
Yeah, it sounds great.
It would have been easy to write in. Only part they missed.
I figured out my Adam Sandler. Adam Sandler would be in a live-action episode of What If, wherein he played Magneto.
Oh, gross.
See, I actually had him as Cyclops. Because I feel like he'd just get wrecked.
Cyclops is only lame in those 20th Century Fox movies.
Yeah, Cyclops is actually
Cyclops
funny.
Rules in the comics. Cyclops rules in the cartoons.
I mean, he's still a dick.
Even in X-Men 97?
In X-Men,
yeah, he's still
he
a dick, but
he's,
like...
But he's hilarious.
Yeah, and he's on it.
Yeah.
He's just such a chump in those 20th Century Fox movies, though.
Yeah, they fucked that shit.
I'll be honest, and I watched X-Men 97. I didn't think he was all that impressive. Of all the characters, he seemed like
he's the Superman like guy who goes, oh, I'm good and I know I'm good. I know I'm amazingly good.
Right,
I'm a pinnacle of fucking
like,
things.
You know, like the recent episode where he's giving an interview and he's like losing his patience during the interview.
Yes.
I like that is a great portrayal of him. I really, you know, like he's fucking starts walking off in the middle of it. Like, good thing that we aren't like you people because you'd all be dead.
That was a good line.
And it's that coming from like good boy Cyclops.
Yeah.
He's a good barometer for like how pissed off the mutants are.
Fair.
And for really like the patience is running out when Cyclops is getting to this point.
And he's also a big old just complete sub whenever it comes to Jean. Whatever Cyclops has, right out the window. Jean, okay.
Yeah, and then the Cyclops like kind of cheating on Jean with Madeline Pryor.
That was excellent. God.
It's like, oh, it's so confusing. I don't know. And
you sure do look alike and have the same memories and the yeah. same bodies.
Yeah, I mean, like, it is definitely like giving Jerry from Rick and Morty a lot on 97.
Yes.
But it's like when Jerry finds a spine.
Okay.
He's like Jerry with a spine in X-Men 97.
Oh, God. Yes. It's a lot of fun.
So it's Jerry on the planet where he was left hunting.
I was going to go with Jerry when he had half of Rick's brain.
Like original Jerry that got left behind.
Yeah.
Is on, yeah. And oh, like God. Bailed on Morty.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like, that's the competent one. That's the, yep.
The one who beat the apocalypse. Yeah. That's, yeah. That's it. That's Cyclops right there.
Does have those vibes. Like I'm going to survive.
But yeah, also super, super subby. I almost feel like if it wasn't a cartoon, Jean Grey would have caught him like getting pegged by Madeline Pryor.
Yeah.
And, you know, been like, what the fuck? That's our thing. I'm sorry. You know, I can't say no.
That's why I'm hoping we get into the Emma Frost stuff. Because when Cyclops is with Emma Frost is subbing for him. Because she's just crazy about him because that's Emma's weirdness.
Sinister's weirdness, too.
Is what?
He's obsessed with Jean Grey and Scott.
Interesting.
Their genetics are apparently amazing.
Yeah, he thinks they're like the ubermensch of mutants.
Oh, God.
That's Sinister's whole story. Like, that is Sinister's thing.
I'll be kind of curious to see where it develops, because clearly central to the villain story arc of this season.
Yeah, Sinister's definitely kicking around. I think it's going to develop into the recent Jonathan Hickman comics run.
I haven't read any of it.
Yeah, you have. It was the House of X and
Powers of 10.
Powers of 10, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the run that spawned from that. I think in the movies that's what we're going to wind up with. Because part of the background of those stories was Genosha.
Right.
And I mean like House of M as well, but they can just kind of skip House of M. Do you know House of M?
Vaguely.
It's when Scarlet Witch uses her powers to depower all the mutants.
Oh, okay.
Which they did not view favorably.
Yeah, I would assume that pissed people off, yeah.
But she already kind of pissed everybody off anyway and had a villain arc and got killed in it. And I'm guessing if they bring her back, it'll be to like do good things and not depower mutants.
Yeah, although I do hope they get into the storyline for House of X.
I think they will. I think that's where this is going, though, because it... the X-Men 97 stuff, like where Charles Xavier shows up in Multiverse of Madness and he looks like the Charles Xavier from the cartoon.
Right.
And, you know, now Wolverine showing up and he looks like the Wolverine from the cartoon.
Right.
And it makes, you know, and like with Disney also putting out this X-Men 97 thing. So my guess is that like that storyline basically is the background of the Wolverine we're going to see in this movie.
Yeah. Let us not forget the spot we're at in X-Men 90. Well, we're at in X-Men 97 had the Wild Sentinel and Genosha.
Yep.
Which is part of the Grant Morrison run that introduces Cassandra Nova. And yep. What did we just get in the Deadpool Wolverine? It's Cassandra Nova.
Cassandra Nova.
So everything's right now where Grant Morrison's writing. Was it Astonishing X-Men or Astounding?
I don't remember.
One of those, but yeah, Grant Morrison's writing there, which is what then leads into
House of M.
Yep.
And then that leads into, House of X.
Looks like we are.
Powers of 10.
It's really exciting, great times, especially because if we can get Cassandra Nova in for a while.
And really, we could, if we
just
really
like an evil Charles
had
Xavier.
To do a House of M, that could probably be done in a what if.
True.
Imagine just a seasonal what if that's just a story. I'd be down.
I'd be cool with that, yeah. Especially if it's that story. That'd be a fun fucking story.
That'd actually be a great what if, like to kind of bring you up to speed on the other Marvel universe that's colliding into this one.
Yeah.
That would be Disney, the best version of what
ideas
if.
For you. Get this done.
Use your what ifs so that we
listen
can
listen to
see.
Us more than Wizards does.
we got some better ideas or things. We've got so many of them. We're nerds or geeks. Which one's the proper nomenclature today?
My understanding is that nerd is academic.
Okay.
And geek is generalized interest, in which case I think everybody here is both.
Okay. But which one would be fanboying? That would be geek then.
Well, yeah, unless it was like a scientist, right?
So I guess, I didn't think of that.
Like if it's Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah, it's nerd geek.
Right, if you're a geek nerd. And a nerd, then you have GERD. Whatever the fuck.
Yeah, like I definitely want to meet Neil deGrasse Tyson and mostly on a geek level, less on a nerd level, but kind of both. Cause he always pops up to like talk about how this wouldn't work physically according to physics in science fiction movies, but they're like movies that take place in wildly different worlds.
I think of Neil deGrasse Tyson, I believe is in Doctor Who.
Well, like he says that. Yeah, he pops up in that. He says in like when the rebooted Star Wars came out, the J.J. Abrams one,
sure.
Force Awakens.
Yeah.
And he had this big gripe with BB-8 rolling through the sand. Like that wouldn't work. He would go nowhere. It's a ball rolling in sand. And it's just like, okay, yeah, our sand, but
their sand has higher grit.
Who knows? Right. Who knows what their sand is made of in a galaxy far, far away? Who knows that BB-8 doesn't have some kind of crazy thing that like magnetizes it together into a hard surface, you know, like for a creative person, he's not thinking very creatively. But then he pops up again and he has this same kind of fucking take with Dune about sand, where he's, you know, like, well, you know, they're running across the sand, it's transferring all this sound, and that just doesn't happen. Like, bro, there's an emperor of the known universe. There's a lot of shit. There's spice coming off of this sand that's unlike any element that we've ever encountered, and you're talking about what's fucking possible there from a scientific point of view?
I mean, have anybody shown him Phantom Menace?
I don't know. I'd rather just show him Attack of the Clones so we can get through like the sand quote, because I feel like he's got an issue with sand.
It's cool, Austin. That's not how physics works.
Yeah, I would love to meet Neil deGrasse Tyson so I could like argue with him for like 45 minutes on exactly those points.
And then never again.
I don't know. I mean, like at least for that, I feel like I'd get along with the guy.
And then Bill Nye comes over and he's just like, I got the shrooms, guys. And then you just all have a science high.
Yeah.
Bill Nye with science highs.
That'd be a great day.
Bill.
Bill's like, no, we don't just eat them. I brewed us tea.
Like who else do we throw in that mix to get to round out like that perfect educational blunt rotation? Do we get LeVar Burton?
I feel like that's necessary.
I feel like LeVar Burton's the one.
That's how you start it, yeah. Because it starts with LeVar Burton, then it went to Bill Nye, and then to Neil deGrasse. So yeah, I think you got to get the arc.
LeVar Burton was more like reading and shit.
If we're going to follow the chronology, he was Geordi on Star Trek.
We'd need Carl Sagan, but he's long dead.
Yeah. But LeVar Burton's still amazing.
I got one we could take. What about instead Michio Kaku?
Oh yeah, that'd be solid. That'd be solid.
Like brilliant, fun though.
Yeah, if we wanted to keep it in like the astrophysics world.
Yeah.
The astrophysics blunt rotation schedule.
Astrophysics dream blunt rotation. Yeah.
Yeah. The Neil real DeGrasse dream
Tyson,
team.
Mikio. Mikiko? How's he
Michio.
Say? Michio.
Michio Kaku, I believe is how
Michio
it's pronounced.
Michio Kaku. Neil deGrasse Tyson. And I forgot who the
LeVar
other one
Burton was. LeVar Burton and
Bill Nye. No, not LeVar Burton. It was somebody else.
Bill Nye.
Bill Nye. Yeah.
That sounds like a grand old time.
All right. Well, if any of those three people are listening to this podcast,
you know what? That's just enough people to also do like in like handstand bongs.
Ooh.
And I would want Bill Nye to be up first. We could all be like, Bill.
Handstand bong slam. Remember strikeouts?
Yeah.
Fuck. Been a minute. For those who don't know what strikeouts are, if I remember correctly,
is what it generally is.
Well, if I remember correctly, it's you take a rip out of a bong, take a shot, chug a beer, exhale.
Correct.
Yeah, it's clear, shot, chug, exhale.
God, what a time.
Those were never a problem for me.
They do that in a few movies, actually. I think it's in one of the American Pies, even.
Your lung capacity is at least twice the normal person's.
That's true. I measured it. Like one day in high school in health class, we were all doing that. And I think average lung capacity was something like 3 liters and mine was 5.5.
I'm just saying, like, I've watched you smoke cigarettes for 10 years at least now. And the way you smoke is like, holy fuck, how can you keep pulling in? There's no way there's room. Yeah. And then it just keeps going.
Imagine how much wind power I would have if I didn't smoke.
I know. It's wild. I have considered this many times as I sit there like, man, I feel like it's hard to breathe. And you're just like, yeah. Jesus Christ, my man. Fucking wild.
Crickets.
Yeah, well, that was a slurpy sound. That's a good way to end. we'll just pretend that was the end.
Floppy toppy.